Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? Who they? Who they? Who they say gonna beat the Bengals? No!
Fuck you. We like the Bengals. Starts now.
And we're back, baby. We can't feel the loss when we're on by.
And we love it.
And we love it.
Detroit played Pittsburgh to a tie.
And we love it. And we love it.
And welcome back to
Fuck You. We like the Bengals.
I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Sitting to my left, videos right. We're doing a video sode for the first time.
Yeah.
We're going to have some video clippies pop up. But introduce yourself, even though everyone knows it. Everyone knows you.
Lloyd Johnson.
And sitting to Lloyd's left, videos right from the Bastard Sermon.
I'm Cody Hucker.
Cody Hucker. Dude, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me on.
Dude, absolutely.
I'm just here to snipe. Listeners, if you're a big fan of this show, I'll shut my mouth for the entirety of this time. I'm just here to snipe.
That's not it. Necessarily. Like, dude, like, we, because, like, Lloyd and I, like, bullshit for a while about, honestly, like, the same things, because, like, yeah. We only have, like, our only common interests are like comedy and sometimes music and Juice World and
having sex with men.
I mean, that's just me.
Right, me too. That's what I'm saying. What are we saying? Something weird right now?
Wow, we are literally a minute in and there's already sexual tension between me and Cody.
We could just fuck on the rest of this podcast. You want to?
I have
an hour to fill. And I'll fill those holes.
Cody, how the fuck are you, dude? How's your week?
Doing great. Just came off a great Empire Citizens podcast. Go and check that out on the Bastard Sermon. Go
oh, so would you
Patreon, baby, $5 a month.
So would
and
you, go ahead.
No, sorry, I was just plugging my shit.
Oh, nice. So what'd you guys talk about in there? Just so what is that podcast?
Talking art, talking everything. It's just dick and fart jokes. It's like if you ever
That's like us.
It was a Bastard Sermon episode. It just we had a guest on called Empire Citizens.
Oh, okay. It's on the Patreon?
Well, it's on both. It's on the regular episode, and we have a Patreon as well.
Free show every Sunday. Patreon, $5 a month. You get the bonus episode, and you get the free show a day early. That anyways, back to your fun podcast.
No. And the honestly, the fun shit's on the Patreon, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Go and pay money for that. We need that money. Otherwise, yeah. How's Lloyd going to get his fucking insulin? Come on. Let's go.
Dude, Lloyd's almost a working boy again, I feel like.
Yeah. Luke's got to get his psychiatric meds, otherwise he'll turn back into a fucking brunette. Yeah, we want to keep him ginger, right? Let's keep it going with the Patreon. This is funding our medical costs.
Lloyd, were you ever a ginger?
No.
No,
he's talking about Luke.
Luke.
Oh, I said Lloyd. Luke Young.
Well, that'd be the rum talking right there.
Oh, the Sailor Jerry.
Lady Bly. Come on, what am I?
Ooh.
Rich? What am I? Boy, I got Lloyd money just hanging around.
Oh, that disability money from the past 6 months.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that money.
It's exactly. Been fun.
What am I? Disability rich.
And I want to throw this out there.
That's better than the other Rich.
That joke might have been a little too far, and
wrong
I'm sorry.
Podcast.
But that being said, it's not going to be the first. It's not going to be the last too far joke we make this episode.
Oh, I'm certain it's not.
Oh, it's good. Because we knew going in, like, this is a Raiders team that has made the news a lot.
Every week for the past 4 weeks, they have been the hot topic in any sports.
And for, like, Cody, are you saying something?
Yeah, I think it's insensitive that you're saying Raiders. I prefer Raiders.
Luckily, no one cares what you think.
No, because like it's and not just Gruden, not just like even since the beginning of the season with Carl Nassib.
Yeah, they've made headlines constantly. You know, like a Las Vegas team might.
Yeah, and the Carl Nassib thing, that's like the good thing that's happened. Like he came out, he's supported among his teammates, and he's supported by the majority of the league, not the dipshits, but like
yeah.
the majority not of the Grudens. League. Not the Gruden, not the Gruden emails from 10 years ago. But then, not just Gruden, not just Carl Nassib, but then like Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett, both yeah. made the news big time.
Both got booted from the team.
Coach for
got
booted. Very good reasons.
Yeah. It's been a heavy news cycle centered yes. around the Raiders,
and we are not going to hold back.
No,
nope.
You know what I just realized? Not important to your podcast. We're recording on the same SD card as my podcast, so this yeah. is going to require additional editing.
Oh. How right. so?
I'm gonna have Don't worry to send about you it. The
we'll
files.
Figure it out. We will figure it out.
You can put the files on his.
Yeah, absolutely. I can put the files on mine. But you know what else doesn't take a lot of figuring out? Sports teams and their stocks rising. Sports teams and their stocks rising because Lloyd... Do you think we'll talk about this in a little bit? We'll bullshit a little bit longer because we got some midseason topics to talk about. But do you think that the Bengals stock could rise?
I think it could.
I think it could. Cody Hucker, do you think the Bengals stock could rise?
Well, if they don't keep losing games, I think it possibly could. I thought that it was already rising before they were fucking. I thought they were crushing it as a
just a yes
fan.
Or no.
Cody, you're adding. We appreciate it, man. But is you think, Lloyd, is there like a website you would go to like buy stock in the Bengals or
I would go to Symbol
or sell stock in the Raiders. Symbol is my choice. We have a new sponsor that you guys are going to love. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks. And every time your team wins, you earn
money.
Cash, which is just as good as money. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 7,000-plus early adapters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com to create a free account, and when you deposit, make sure you use the promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. Visit symbol.com and use the promo code SD, and your deposit will be risk-free.
Boys, can I just say I'm already in love with Symbol? I think that this is a great service, and I'm already ready to gamble my money on everything that Symbol has to offer.
You should, because that means even if you lose money, like Cody very much anticipates, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked.
My dick's hard already, Alex.
All right, cool. I'll jerk it off later. Join Symbol and start investing and profiting from your favorite teams. And if you wanted to talk about your favorite teams on some audio-only sports talk platform, is there an audio-only sports talk platform app?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. it's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
That you would use, or...
I would use Spotify Green Room, personally.
I sure would.
So would I.
Spotify Green Room is a live, audio-only sports talk platform that is free to download and use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in...
real time.
The realest time. You can get in on the conversation that you listen to here every day, and you can even share your own experiences or takes on the app, and you have a chance to be featured on the Fuck You podcast. Download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Sports Drink group. Follow us at FUWLT Bengals to be notified when the room goes live. Join us. We'll be going live at some time at some place. We'll figure it out. We'll refigure it out.
Sometime.
This is the last thing I'll say because we got a lot of Bengals midseason stuff to talk about. So Lloyd, I don't know how much you probably don't watch much college game day or college football, do you?
I don't watch any.
I figured as such, but I figured you were at least a little bit in the loop on the fact that college game day was in Cincinnati recently, like the pre-college show, the pre-college football thing. I had so much fun. I'll talk about it for a little bit because, so going in like Friday, I had a, cause like people make like posters and they're all like silly and shit. And I made one, during a class that I was sub teaching for. And it's just like, it was just a ridiculous thing. I went on and said, I thought this was the Olivia Rodrigo concert.
Yeah. I saw the post.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun. It got on TV. I'm very happy about that. Someone tweeted at me.
Who was that person, Alex?
That person, I forget.
Mike McFuckstick from Columbus, Ohio.
It could be. Let's see here.
Jen McFuckstick, perhaps?
Shout out to at ACCT support, emotional support account. They said, I thought this was the Olivia Rodrigo concert sign, hashtag college game day, and a couple laughing emojis. Dude, thank you. Or lady. Actually, I think it was a lady. But thank you for seeing the sign, tweeting at me. And I sent her a response saying, this is my sign.
Can I smash?
Go to hell. Anyway.
That sounded like a yes to me.
Yeah.
It's a whole inside thing. But
she'll get a boyfriend and then you'll be sad about it. Well, you'll be happy for her, but you know what? I'll edit that out. But yeah, so I made that sign in a class I was sub-teaching for because I need shit to do all day, and that happened to be the thing I did all day. And it was in a high school class, and I told a couple kids, like, I'm going to college game day, and they're like, yeah, we might be going too. And then another kid named Caden made a sign as well.
I hate him.
You hate him?
Caden? Stop it.
He's a cool kid. He didn't name himself.
I know, I just...
The fact that it hasn't changed his name in a current day where it's absolutely acceptable to change your name with that name, I hate him also. I'm with Lloyd on this one. It's your fault, Caden. You could have been a George or a Bill or anybody, and you're...
Oh, he could have been born in 1952?
Exactly. Now you understand, yes.
Yes.
You could have been any of those 1952 names, and you're still Caden? Get the fuck out of here, Caden. I hate you like I hate my own name.
Anyway, no, so he made a sign,
fuck Caden,
targeted at Desmond Howard that said, Desmond, your wife's a MILF, which, fun
That's
sign.
My son's name. Calm down here, Alex.
Fun sign. And he actually was he made that sign in my class, in the class I was subbing. And that sign was Barstool Cincy's sign of the week at college game day.
That's awesome.
It was insane.
They let you within 500 feet of a school?
They let you within 500 feet of a school?
No. No, that's... I don't teach schools. So that's the...
Yeah, I'm shocked too. No, I actually... I was subbing at a preschool today, and I had a little bit of a case of the sniffles.
I thought you were going to say the desire. I apologize. I shouldn't be here.
You're right. Anyway, No, I had the sniffles, and the principal came up to me, and she's like, hey, Alex, can I borrow you for a second? And I'm like, what did I do? She's like, I'm the principal here. We understand you're a little sick today, so we're going to have to ask you to go home. And I was like, God damn it. I get it. But I still got credit with a half day, even though I went home at like 9:30. Fucking ruled.
Nice.
So, yes, they let me go within 500 feet of a school.
They give you that Cinnamon Toast Crunch t-shirt to leave with?
I actually got this. I actually got this at a PacSun.
At a PacSun?
Yeah. It was in Liberty Township.
Oh.
I'm wearing a... You'll see it on the audio podcast.
When you were opening up for Dave Attell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That little nobody name that nobody's heard of.
No
Shout
one's
Shout yourself
heard of.
Out here. Come on. You're on your podcast, but talk yourself up a little bit.
I talked about...
Our boys talk to Dave Attell. Not talk to him. He opened for him. Come on. Give it up.
Imaginary I talked about listeners. It last week, buddy.
Yes,
I did talk about it last week.
Well, I'm here to praise you again. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Cody.
One of the greatest comedians that ever existed. I'm so happy.
To me, he is the greatest.
Yeah.
He's a professional.
Him
He's
and Stanhope.
A perfect joke writer. I need to... I mean, I've seen Stanhope live like 5 times.
Same.
I mean, Lloyd's probably seen... Lloyd, how much have you seen Stanhope?
30-something.
30-something, Jesus.
I've seen Attell twice. I've seen Stanhope maybe 5 or 6.
The fucking rules. I've probably seen Stanhope more than I've seen Attell.
And Attell is magic. Magic and a little lightning in a bottle. And that lightning in a bottle decided for you to fucking open for him. I'm so proud of you.
Rand Barnicle, a friend of the pod, opened for him. And I just did a guest spot. I don't want to take anything away from Rand. Because, like, Rand loves him, too.
Still a guest spot, though. Come on.
He asked. And
clap just, yourself in the back until your arm breaks, baby boy.
Oh, my arm's broken.
Oh, no.
So.
What are we going to do? Mine is, too. Look at that.
Yours is too. What was I gonna say?
I was trying to fill time. My Lloyd was pissing. Sorry.
Lloyd probably remembers this. Like almost 10 years ago, Stanhope was at Go Bananas the same night Joe Rogan was at the Taft.
Yeah.
And late show Saturday.
The story's legendary.
You know this story?
I know it from Stanhope, yeah.
So, Lloyd, you know this story.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, so I'll tell it for the listeners. Late show Saturday. It's 11:45, about 15 minutes left in the show. And then Stanhope's on stage. I think I'm just watching Stanhope. But then I see this tiny man.
He's tiny.
With a puffy jacket just walking down the aisle of Go Bananas. And I see people in the front row just stand up and get their camera phones out. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's Joe.
Stanhope holds down Schubert, and the little man fucks Schubert right in the mouth.
Just right in the mouth and butt. Right in the mouth and butt. While Joe Rogan walks on stage at Go Bananas. And they do, like, just, like, they riff together for, like, 15 minutes. And then after the show, they go next door to what was then McLeavy's. And then they bartend together. And I didn't drink at the time. I actually wasn't 21 yet. So Stanhope got me a water. And I'm like, Doug Stanhope, just bartend and serve me a goddamn water. And I was starstruck by Joe Rogan because I was a big UFC fan at the time. And I still, for my sake and for Lloyd's sake, I want to get back into it. And this is like back when Ronda Rousey was like my celebrity crush. But,
oh, poor kid.
Lloyd, what was that look on your face?
Oh, I love when I just get the little one. It's a little one jab in there that gets to you. It's fun for me.
Oh boy. At least it's not Lily, because she'll have like 5.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I got something. I got a drink from Stanhope and got to talk to Rogan for a little bit, and I made myself look like a total asshole. But I'm sure he doesn't fucking remember it. But that story's so goddamn cool.
Well, being a personal friend of Rogan's, I could say that it's been seared into his memory. He's never forgotten.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure he's remembered all the shitty things that all his fans have done and all that shit.
Memory like an elephant, that man.
Yes. But speaking of the shitty things that people have done...
what the fuck happened last week.
So we already talked about the Browns loss. We're not going to get into it because we don't want to bum you out even more. But we're going to do a little mid-season review, kind of go over some things that the Bengals have done. Over this year, they are 5-4. Currently, they are third place in the AFC North as it stands. Baltimore is 6-3.
Yep.
Pittsburgh is 5-4.
5-3-1.
5-3-1. Yes. Because they tied Detroit last Sunday, and I'll talk about that because I watched the game. The Bengals are 5-4, and Cleveland's 5-5. It is okay. So first thing, it is impressive that the AFC North, the last place team in the AFC North, does not have a losing record.
Right.
It's very much the best division in baseball. Football, my bad. It's the best division in football. What's going on?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I was telling you about the cameras back and forth. Just so that
we're not at the point where we're using it. So.
Nope, not yet.
I thought you were talking about what's on screen. My bad.
We are all good. So, yeah, I'm stoked about the AFC North. I know it's a tough division. If you get out of this division, because the Bengals are 2-1 in the division, they've beaten the top two teams, got their cheeks clapped by the last place team. It's been a weird year for the AFC.
Right, but I always like when our division is doing well because at least it shows that our record is dependent, you know, to six games of it is our division.
Yep.
So when they're doing well, it shows that we're doing well if we're competitive with them.
Competitive with the toughest, most evenly matched division in football.
I say I don't think you even have to add like the inflection on your voice there. Every single outlet that I've seen has called the AFC North the toughest division in football right now.
It's like the most smash mouth division. It's got two of the best defensive ends in the game, and Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. They're both pretty high up there in sacks, and I mean it's always been a smash mouth division.
Ha, huh, sacks.
Sacks. It's a stat. I don't know.
It's also a store.
It is?
Saks Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like some defunct thing where there's only like six stores left. I was reading today that I found that there's like only like six Kmarts left.
Well, I mean, last time I was in a Kmart, I didn't realize it was still open. Like when I walked in, I thought... I legit thought, like, oh, okay, they're, like, tearing this place down.
Yeah.
Because God. I saw people turning, like, literally taking apart shelves that used to have stuff on it.
Yep.
Guys, how else is my family going to Christmas shop? Come on.
They go to Target. They go to Target. So, anyway, like we were saying earlier, the bye week, and like we said in the theme song, the bye week was chef's kiss.
Yeah.
For the Bengals. Ravens lost on Thursday. The Browns got smoked.
Spanked.
45 unanswered points from the Patriots.
Beautiful.
It was unbelievable. Mac Jones lit him up. Ramondre Stevenson had a hell of a game. First of all, can I give a hot take? Cody, what are you going to say?
I was going to ask, as a person that's on this podcast that doesn't know sports super well.
Yep.
Was this prior to the Bengals getting crushed by the Browns that you're talking about?
After.
So after that horrific defeating loss that we're not going to harp on, where the Bengals were held down and ass fucked repeatedly on live television for all the Bengals fans to watch in front of their own mothers, while the Bengals were just being repeatedly crushed by a team that is in their own division, that just absolutely eviscerated them.
Got it.
The next week, yep. that team was
smoked.
Destroyed?
Smoked.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. 45-7. I'm going to give a hot take that some Bengals fans might not like. Jamar Chase is not a lock for Rookie of the Year.
I mean, depends on how the rest of the season goes, but yeah.
I think
at this point, yeah, I think the lock has been unlocked.
Yep. I think is currently between him and a guy I've kind of... Chat talked a little bit because I'm not a huge fan of him and I'm still not the biggest fan of him, but he's been impressive. I'll give him that. Mac Jones.
I mean, it's the case is being made, I guess.
Yes. And I think like, Bengals fans are going to cling to, like, that crazy stretch he had in September, October. And I don't blame him. Like, the stretch was incredible. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jamar has that drop-off that he's kind of had over the last 2 weeks. If it, if that
doesn't bounce back, then yeah, then that discussion gets much more skewed. But if he comes back and continues to play how he played at the beginning of the season, I think, yeah, he's still there.
Because teams know how to defend him now. Because teams, well,
some of them,
yes, yeah, some teams know. Because like, well, the Jets were just like, our goal this week when we play the Bengals is going to be to take the deep ball away from Jamar Chase, and they fucking nailed it. They nailed it. And they, because, like, I mean, granted, Chase had a touchdown, but he only had like 3 catches for 30 some yards. And
yeah, and I mean, but in that same thing, you can look at how the Ravens lost and go, oh, they just did what the Bengals did, but slightly more aggressive. So, I mean, everyone gets their ups and downs based on how people react to him throughout the season. I think Jamar Chase is a raw enough talent that he's going to be hard for a lot of teams.
Yep.
And
he's going to have his blowout games. He's going to have at least a few more games, maybe a couple more games, who knows, that were like the Baltimore one, that were like the Green Bay one. He's going to have incredible games.
Right, and if you look at, you know, pass rating and man coverage, Joe Burrow's still the best in the league under man coverage.
Yeah.
Because so it depends on how teams play us will be how that works.
Because he knows he can hit Chase in stride. If it's a one-on-one matchup with Chase, go to Jamar Chase.
Yeah. And people get mad that, you know, he has more targets here or this or that. Doesn't matter. If it's working, do it.
Yeah. Well, there were people saying, and I kind of agree, that like Burrow is like forcing the ball to Chase, even like in like super tight windows, and people want like the target share to be like 33-33-33 between
Higgins, Boyd, and Chase.
Yep, exactly. It's not feasible.
No.
Cuz like you throw the ball, it's hard to explain.
Well, I mean, it's not. It's you have your progressions, you have the plays that you're running, and then when it, you know, when your first option for how the play was designed isn't there, you read to the second, you read to the third.
Yep.
Burrow is clearly comfortable throwing to Chase when it's outside of his normal reads, because he knows that he'll go and get it the way that
he did when he was done, at LSU. Yeah,
done so many more times for him. As the year goes on, you'll see either that will develop more, or Burrow will start developing more of that with Higgins and Boyd and even Uzama. Like,
yep. And I do think Boyd does deserve more targets, because I think he is a slot guy you can utilize in like maybe like a 2nd and 10 situation when you need 8 yards, when you need 9 yards, when you need a first down.
Yeah.
He's a guy you can utilize for that quick check down when it's like 7 yards away. He's a guy you can utilize like that. And even the play like out routes, maybe an occasional deep ball, I think Boyd does have that ability.
Right, and that's the fun of him being so good over the middle, is every once in a while he's going to get that X route or that Y route and be there.
Yeah. And you can also use, like, I haven't seen a whole lot of Auden Tate, which, is he hurt right now?
I don't know, but, I mean, you're not going to see a lot out of a fourth receiver.
No.
When you have the three guys we have on the field,
the
plus
three-headed monster.
And even, like, in the last game, you saw they were playing, when they were doing the two tight end sets, you saw Sample open, two or three.
Sample had a couple great plays in the Cleveland game.
So I think the way Zach Taylor is, you're not going to see many throws to the fourth receiver.
No. I mean, it's going to be the all throw it to him. It's going to be fun to hear this guy's name throw. Like when you hear Mike Thomas's name, it's like, oh, that's nice to hear his name every now and then. Or maybe like a throw to Stanley Morgan or some shit.
What I'm saying is you aren't even going to see those guys hit the field very often, because he's more likely to throw like Evans in there.
Oh, yeah.
Who can catch out of the backfield or run. So it gives you more options, and a quarterback-centric guy like Zach Taylor is definitely going to lean more on the tight ends and the, you know, the guys who can pick up blitzes and catch if it's unnecessary.
Just like a quick check down to like the outside or down the middle.
Yeah. It's like they've used Pete Ryan for it a handful of times. You can definitely tell in the last game they went a little more Evans for those.
There were some drops last game. It was real bad. Chase dropped a touchdown. He dropped another deep pass. P. Ryan dropped an easy first down.
Higgins dropped like two.
It was a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, again, coming off riding super high off that Ravens win, and then, you know.
The Bengals are a young, inexperienced team. They're going to be, they're a fun team right now. They're going to be flashy at times, but at the same time, they're going to fuck up. They're going to have those.
Keep going with moments. Your thought. I'll ask you when
they're going to have those moments. What are you going to say, Cody?
Just curious. You're talking about them like they're a new team, and they almost, to me, as a person that hasn't really followed them religiously the way that you guys have, or most fans have, or I'm not even a big sports fan in general.
Go on.
They seem like they were just crushing it recently. Like they played like a team that has been newly structured that has the same old name.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe recently they've gotten crushed a little bit, and I harped on the Browns loss just out of funny, but like they do seem like they're playing like a new team. Is that what it seems like for you guys, or is that the actual, like, is that it?
That's
that
what's actually happening.
That is what, that is, because the
new coach, new quarterback.
The centerpieces of the team are like maximum 5 years in.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not a lot of players who've been around for a long time left other than, like, you know, the long snapper, the punter.
Did Marvin Lewis just get booted out just this year?
End of the 2018 season.
Okay.
So it's a newer coach, newer quarterback. They're filling out the spots.
Burrow's the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Probably.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Joe Burrow, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong. It could be.
I hear you.
It could be Jeff Blake. I'm not sure.
I'm not kidding. I really don't know this much about it. I know it might seem like I'm fucking around, but
it's
not.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's a few things. Speaking of Joe Burrow, I think, and Lloyd and I have talked about this, like, Burrow has had a very, very up and down season.
Right, but, I mean, for a guy who's played, what, 19 fucking games?
Yep.
In the NFL, like, I'd put you against anyone else who's been in the NFL to play 19 games. I'll take that Pepsi challenge any fucking day.
Yeah, and people compare stats to Peyton Manning's all the time.
Yeah, I mean, more accurately, I mean, if you want, like, I think Marino's even closer.
Yeah,
of a guy to pair it to, and that was at the time a much smaller market team, much more like the Bengals, that didn't have the staying power of keeping coaches, keeping people around, because, you know, at the time Miami wasn't as big market even as they are now.
Yep.
Can I compare this to a world that I do know?
Yes.
Let's go porn. All right, so it's the same way with porn. Like, hey, you have a girl that could take 75 loads to the face. Sure, any girl could just do that. Most of them are going to kill themselves or get hooked up with a pimp boyfriend that's eventually then going to murder them. But it takes the top all-star porn star athletes like Asa Akira, August Taylor, these fucking dirty hoes that are down and about it to really take these loads day in and day out and be able to keep coming down and getting loads dropped in their face. The way that this team, am I making a good direct comparison here? All right, fair enough. I'll back off again.
You just wanted to talk about porn, didn't you?
I did.
Yes. Didn't Asa Akira only do porn for like 2 months?
No, that's you're thinking of Mia Khalifa. No, right. Asa Akira put in her dick work, if you will.
Anyway.
I'm surprisingly not in the loop on porn stars.
Tuck your boner.
All right.
Go ahead. You got elastic on.
Yes, yes, I do. But no, Burrow has, like, he's had an up and down season. He's been sacked 25 times in 9 games.
Much like Asa Akira. All right, I'll stop now.
All right. Yes. No, you're fine.
Stop not laughing like it wasn't fuck you guys. It was great.
You know, wait until the burns to not laugh at us. Yeah. You'll get your revenge.
Okay.
But no, he's, like I said, the turnovers have been a problem. Just both. The interceptions have been, and I said this last week, the interceptions have been momentum swinging picks.
Right. Just because there are bad times doesn't mean he's doing poorly.
No.
But
it just means
he's, you know, 19 games into his NFL career. And yeah, you can't expect him to have the same poise and presence as someone who's been there for
like a 5-year vet, like, say, or maybe even a 4-year vet, like, say, a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson or a Patrick Mahomes or even someone like a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Tom Brady's the best of the best.
He's the best ever. And anyone who says he's not the best ever is either someone who grew up in the 80s who refuses to admit that Joe Montana is no longer the best.
What? What are you saying right now?
Yes, that's
exactly... Sacrilege?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Cody. It's sacrilege.
What about Tom Landry? All right.
Okay, my bad. I'm going to give Tom Landry his credit.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think he's had like kind of a... He's tried to be a gunslinger. It's like kind of the way he was at LSU.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying is he's still 19 games into his pro career. He still has a little bit of that college tendency to try and force it at times, which is you just learn over time. You know, I mean...
Yep.
All right, Harvey Weinstein. Force it. All right. I thought I was here to snipe. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, more...
We'll get to that later with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
It's all good.
I don't remember where I was going.
It happens. We'll move on. There's a few more things we want to talk about before we get to some of the most controversial burns we have ever written. Is it tacky to market it that way?
No, not at all.
Yes.
It's a team that deserves to be roasted.
Yes, and I cannot wait. Few more things. The Jesse Bates situation. Did you see what he said this week?
Yeah.
He's like,
and I think that's fair.
It is 100% fair. He's like, my mind was focused on the contract situations. My mind wasn't 100% in the game. And Zach Taylor commended him. He's like, it's good that he acknowledged that.
Yeah, and not only acknowledged it, but clearly made an effort to try and get past it with what he's shown the past few games. Like, he's definitely you can see a little more effort, a little more focus out of him.
And he said, he commented, he doesn't want to focus on proving the wrong people right. He wants to focus on proving the right people right. And honestly, you want that in any aspect of life.
My favorite thing that he said is, I want to be the best teammate I can be.
Yep.
And that's the mindset you want.
Yep. That's what you want with, you know who I think, you know who I genuinely think is like being the best teammate they can be this year? Ja'Marr Chase.
I agree.
He's been an impeccable teammate.
Also, some of the offensive linemen, man, have just caught undue hate.
Okay.
When they've played pretty fucking well.
Go on.
Like, people shit all over Riley Reiff because he had, like, 2 weeks where his PFF scores were down, and they're like, oh, he just came there for a check, and...
No.
I'm like, I mean, he's still ranked in the top fucking, like, 20 guys in the fucking league, and he's been...
And there's 60 tackles in the... Yeah. And there's 64 tackles in the league. All right, so, back to the line. I think the outside of the line, honestly, has been the strength of the line all year. Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff have both been very good. Even Quentin Spain's definitely had moments. I think the question marks lie on the inside.
Well, I think with center, they changed a lot of things on him this year.
Especially with Pollock being the coach.
Well, right. I think the way that they call the signals and stuff have changed a lot, which is always going to be rough. So yep. I'm not on the get rid of Trey.
No. I mean, he's a veteran presence on the line.
But he really did just change the whole way he does his job. Like, he used to, you know, he used to give hand signals out, which are now being given by guards. Little things that change like that, that for somebody who has to be so precise on the timing and what they're doing, I think changing even little things like that is really, it's gonna affect what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's going to affect how you play, how you react. And I think all in all, I still think he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think his PFF score is pretty low, though.
It is, but I wish they would give him credit for, like, when they have him pull and go to the outside to block and stuff like that. Like,
yep.
Some things you usually don't see centers do as often. He does them really well. So I think give him a little bit of time to figure out his new role in things.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, even Clark Harris, who's been the long snapper for...
Since the Reagan administration.
Yeah, so 14 fucking years, whatever.
Yeah.
Even he's had, like, one or two that were almost off timing-wise because he's not doing signaling anymore. That's the rest of the line doing it. So the little changes like that, I think people don't see that... That give them, like, they feel free license to, like, shit on somebody who's not doing as well. But, yeah, if the way you've done things for all of your career suddenly changes and you have to do them different, especially on somebody who's, like, you know, no one can move until you fucking hike the ball. Like, you have to have that timing perfect. You have to have all this going from someone who used to be the one to signal everyone else to do it to being someone else and now take signals before they do it.
Uh-huh.
I could see that being a tough transition.
And I also think, I mean, Carmen being a rookie and honestly kind of being thrown into the starter situation, honestly, when I don't think he's ready.
I think he has more or less said, like, during all of training camp stuff, he was more prepped to be the backup tackle and maybe guard.
Yeah, because he was a tackle in college. He's going from left tackle in an incredible Clemson system protecting fucking Trevor Lawrence to right guard.
Yeah.
You have to change your footwork. You have to change your whole mentality.
You're literally playing the other side of the ball, moving in a different direction.
And not only the other side of the ball, but like the other position, the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah. So I think he's done fairly well, but
he needs work.
I would like to see them have rotation. Like there's a lot of teams out there that if you watch during a game, guards swap out. Your left tackle is usually in the game the whole game.
Yep.
Your right tackle is usually in the game for most of the game.
Shout out to Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff for being, honestly, cornerstones of the offensive line.
Right. And then the guards on a lot of teams. Like, you watch Arizona, their guards swap out depending on what kind of play. And, you know, if someone's had to take too many fucking run plays and they start getting run down, they'll swap out somebody.
Yeah.
We just don't have the depth to do that at this point.
Nope. I think, well, is Suofilo hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Suofilo's hurt, and he could be in the starting role. We didn't do much at the deadline, which expected.
Well, I mean, there also just wasn't a whole lot to go after as far as linemen.
Yeah, because no, man, I couldn't imagine a selling team wanting to give up a lineman at the deadline. You're going to go from, like, just tanking to really tanking. Your quarterback's just be like, I mean, I'm trying here.
Yeah, also just, You're gonna fit a lineman into your system halfway through the season? No, you can get a receiver that's used to running routes.
You know, it could pick up the playbook in a week.
Right, a running back, like even Adrian Peterson said, like a running back can learn a system quick because there's only a handful of things they need to know about what play is being called.
But that's also Adrian fucking Peterson, right, well, who I'm just is a goat among running backs.
Right, I'm just saying, like, even his assessment of... They wouldn't need as much time because he was talking about Cam Newton coming in playing well.
Yeah.
He's like, I could see a running back doing that. He's like, it's impressive that a quarterback did that.
Yeah.
Because he was saying, like, you know, as a running back, you only have to know, am I running through this gap? You know, you only have to figure out a handful of what the calls are to know.
Yep. So the last thing we'll say before we get to the Burns, Ja'Marr Chase. He's had an up and down year. His ups have been very up, and his downs have been kind of mediocre. And it's not, I mean, it's just like teams know that, like, he has been putting up, honestly, record-breaking stats.
I mean, look at, the best example to me is look at Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
His, not his rookie year, but his second year where he really started to make a splash. And then everyone was not only double covering, but they were going to, you know, rob him kind of defense and more zone coverage on his side, letting the safeties have more way to swing his side of the field if they thought the play was going there. That's what they're doing with Jamar, and that's what happens to good receivers. I mean,
yep. And you remember when you talk about Calvin Johnson's second year? Do you remember the Lions' record in Calvin Johnson's second year?
No, I don't. But
0-16.
Yeah, I was gonna say
0-16. They were historically bad.
So people shit all over him, like, oh, he's a bust halfway through that season. It's like, no, people just are going way out of their way to cover him and making the rest of the team try to make plays.
Yeah. When you have nothing outside of Calvin Johnson.
Right. So the Bengals, they're going to figure those gaps out and, yeah, go ahead and cover, double cover and triple cover Chase, and then it'll just be
Higgins and Boyd and
Uzama show. So I think it'll bounce back throughout the rest of the season. I think you'll see a lot more parity amongst how they have to cover guys.
And you can't, and you'd be like, all right, I guess we got a single cover Jamar Chase, or we got a single cover Taysom here. I think they can get away with it.
Yeah, as soon as they drop back to man coverage, which they're going to have to, most teams are just going to have to. Most teams don't have the cornerbacks to do what Cleveland did, or
even
what the Jets did. They just don't have the secondary to do that.
Nope.
So, like, as we play Kansas City, I don't see those guys being able to ever drop into man coverage easily versus a guy like Jamar.
Yep.
Or especially not with, you know, that itty-bitty linebackers comparatively that you're going to cover Uzama with a rookie linebacker on that side.
No, Uzama's going to wreck you.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Some of the games coming up, I don't think will be as difficult on the passing game as a few of the most recent games have been.
Yep, we'll get there.
As an outsider looking into this podcast, this is super insightful information. I'm super happy that you guys know so fucking much about this. It's super passionate.
Hell yeah,
I get to be a part of this.
Hell yeah, dude. We'll have to watch a football game. We'll teach you some shit.
I'll be the annoying girlfriend on the sidelines. Like, what's the guy? What's the guy on the sides do? What's his job? Does he catch the ball?
Is this team stock rising?
Yeah, exactly. I'll be that.
Well, if their stock was rising, where would you go to find out?
I don't know, Lloyd. Where would you go?
I would go to Symbol.
I would go to Symbol as well.
So would I.
We have a new Symbol is the sports stock market that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn a cash win payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for a
cash
profit. Use promo code
SD
to make your first deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money or just decide the market isn't for you, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. And if you had to ask some questions,
I know a real good place.
Real good place. Real good place.
I have no idea what you're doing right now. You're throwing.
And if you know a real good place to
Wait,
do
try
it,
try with me.
No, if you know a real good place to do it, I'm just fucking around. I don't want to stall anymore. But is there a place you would ask questions, even though Symbol says no questions asked?
I would go to Spotify Greener.
Goddamn right. You're goddamn right to go to Spotify Greener.
Yeah, that's where it's going. What was that?
I was
going
to do that too.
Spotify Greenroom is a live audio-only sports talk platform that is free to download and...
Free
to download and to free. It's free to download and use.
Oh.
You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in...
real time.
It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdown, and reacting to news that is breaking.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
So hit us with your spiciest takes.
Yeah, you can even share your own experiences or spices on the app.
Ow! Ow! Oh, my God, it's all the spice. Ow.
All of the spice. Jesus. You can talk with other sports fans, insiders, and athletes and executives in real time. Join on the conversation with me and have a chance to be featured on the Fuck You podcast. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android app store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the sports drink group. Follow us at FUWLT Bengals to be notified when the room goes live. We're going live at some time, at some place. Come join us with your spiciest takes. Cody Hucker, what do you got?
How much is that again?
It's free.
How much?
Free.
No fucking way. How much?
Zero.
Oh my God. Go after it. What are you doing?
You know who else is free?
What's that?
John Gruden, Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnett.
They're all very... Well, no, I don't... Actually, Ruggs is not free.
Yeah, for real.
Not
They're
for
all free
long,
of the Raiders.
Long, long time.
And who do they play for?
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Are you ready?
Fuck yeah.
To talk about the Raiders?
Fuck yeah, I am.
We are going to pull up my burns because I was a dumbass and forgot to do that.
I like how you put two S's in Raiders right there.
You can go to hell. But
I'm not mad
that's
at
how
you.
He says it.
I said I liked it.
What Raider doing? Rusher. We're going to start with the mascot, Raider Rusher. There he is. Raider Rusher looks like if Robin from Batman and Robin wanted to prove to his dad that he isn't gay.
Raider Rusher looks like Lance Armstrong's missing nut had to learn how to make his own way as a highwayman.
Raider Rusher looks like if the lead singer of Smash Mouth wanted to be a sidekick character for a DC superhero.
I like it.
Mines aren't written. What do you want from me?
We got a lot about this next guy, don't we?
Probably.
The goddamn owner? Have you ever seen what Mark Davis looks like?
Never.
Oh, just wait.
I can't wait.
Mark Davis is everything the Shriners Hospital has to offer. He is somehow both a clown and a burn victim.
Is that Mark Davis or did someone stick Mark Zuckerberg in an air fryer?
Yeah, I saw that one too.
The what?
Mark Davis looks like a Harley Quinn baby that grew up.
Mark Davis looks like a cancer patient who tried to glue hair back to his head.
Mark Davis looks like that the prom night dumpster baby that crawled back out and survived.
One of my favorite jokes I ever wrote was about the prom night dumpster baby. You know the joke.
Yep, that's where I was Tell going.
It right now.
Yes. I think I have a low self-esteem because of the concept of the prom night dumpster baby. Because there have been people who were alive for less than an hour that have been to more proms than I have.
That's where I was going. I was trying to touch that.
I loved that joke. And it doesn't work all that much.
I love that he's got the worst haircut of all fucking time. Like, literally a bowl haircut. And if you're an owner of a team, you can afford the best of the best. Yeah. Why the fuck does it actually look like somebody... I know it's the goofball fucking... They put a bowl in your head and they cut it. This is what a multi-fucking hundred millionaire actually has as a real haircut. And your face looks like that?
He loves his hair.
Wouldn't you be trying to do your best to not look like this as an owner of a fucking team as a hundred millionaire?
No, he looks
what
like...
the fuck?
He looks like if a dried mango had Down syndrome. We don't hold back on this podcast. Next. Oh, I actually made this my Instagram burn player of the week.
It's an actual burn victim.
Yeah. Matt White, old buddy of mine, the richest man in the world who still cuts his own hair.
Yeah.
Cody Lunsford, he looks like the love child of Pete Rose and that lady whose face was eaten by the chimp.
I almost made a burn about like somebody whose face was ripped off by a chimp.
Neil Meyer, Succession has people thinking rich children can be cool and interesting when they really all look like Mark Davis.
That's very true. Sorry.
The general manager, Mike Mayock.
Mike Mayock looks like he still hasn't gotten over that time that his daughter went to a homecoming with a black guy in the eighth grade.
Every picture of Mike Mayock looks like he was just told that the Raiders are re-signing Antonio Brown. Ready to go to coaching?
Yes, sir.
Coaching. Rich Bisaccia.
Big Bisaccia sack of shit. He looks like that uncle that your parents tell you is a really nice guy, but just don't follow him anywhere. Like, he looks like he has, like, a weird, like, cool name for his goatee. He's like, this is the Muff Raider. It's silver and black and wet if I'm having a good day. And I'm always having a good day, baby.
I like that his name's almost like Versace because he's like, he could be a knockoff bag that you buy from somebody on the fucking...
It looks like a knock. Situation. He looks like a knockoff scrotum.
Yeah, there you go. With Versace written up on the sides of the fucking wrinkles.
Rich Passaccia looks like his dream is to have his goatee woven into a shirt that says, "If you can read this, the bitch fell off." Like we said, these burns. Like we said, these burns are going to get controversial. Rich Passaccia looks like
stop selling it. Now.
I'm already sending a hateful email.
Rich Passaccia looks like his catchphrase is, "So what if John Gruden called Michael Sam a queer?"
Hey, you know what? Too controversial for me on that one.
Speaking of John Gruden, you ready?
Yeah, we're fine. I have like genuine hate for John Gruden.
Football.
Like, so it was hard for me to even write.
Can we get a picture, Alex?
Yes, we can.
Just fuck this sad little hate potato.
Which of these two Down syndrome property brothers is John Gruden?
Left.
Okay, interesting.
This racist, sexist, liar, shitty coach with his Trailer Park Bukowski-esque email rants. How are you a grown man that wears a visor that often? Just fuck him. Just fuck him.
Fuck all the way off.
For real. I don't.
Keisha,
you guys know the old owner of the Reds that used to openly like
Marge Schott.
The one that would say the N-word openly with the hard R and all that shit in interviews. Yeah. Why doesn't he just go for it? If he's gonna be this much of a racist bag of dicks, like why not just like go Mark Schott for it?
Yep. Keyshawn Johnson said about John Gruden, from day one, he's always been a used car salesman, and now he can be an actual used car salesman.
I like it.
One more. You know, I read a few of the John Gruden emails, and based on what he said, I've got a couple uncles that might have to resign as coach of the Raiders too. Yeah, but that also did that happened on National Coming Out Day.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so happy National Coming Out Day to John Gruden's emails.
For real. just let it fly, bro.
Quarterback.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr looks like if Jesse Pinkman had only decided to break Bland. He famously said he had no idea that Carl Nassib was gay. And once someone explained to him what being gay was, Derek responded with, "You can do that?"
Derek Carr is the kind of quarterback that will wear a mask, but only around Carl Nassib. I loved that burn.
That was good. I liked it.
You have to know Carl Nassib.
He's the first openly gay NFL player.
Yes.
So you can't catch the AIDS. Now I get it.
Yes, there you go.
And also, what's wrong with that?
And, well, Derek...
Now we're going for it. You were fucking playing up the controversy. I'm here to really do the controversy.
Yes. A quote from Derek Carr on Carl Nassib. "Our team has been all for having his back," Carr said. "That doesn't mean everyone agrees with the lifestyle or agrees with that." First of all, fuck off.
Yeah.
Second of all, things got real awkward after that last comment when Richie Incognito walked into frame and gave Carr a high five. He's like, "Fuck yeah, I don't agree either." Smack.
Yeah.
Derek Carr is what happens when you come on a piece of paper that says, "I'm not racist, I have black friends."
I work with a bunch of black guys.
After a 2019 loss to Jacksonville, Oakland Raiders fans booed Derek Carr and threw trash onto the field. Derek was stunned to see the pile of trash that included beer bottles, popcorn bags, and David Carr himself.
Derek Carr's eyes are wider apart than fucking Sid's from Ice Age. Come on now. Or people's opinions on... it doesn't matter.
You're good. Derek Carr... Here's the last thing I have on him. Derek Carr said that he smoked weed and had sex in high school. And then he said, "The life I was living was leading me down a road to destruction and death. That's where I was headed. Insert Henry Ruggs joke here."
And so, the life he was leading him down the path to not becoming Tim Tebow.
And we'll move on to
a hotter dude.
His speaking of a hotter dude, his backup Marcus Mariota.
Jesus fucking Christ! What do you mean?
Or as I call him,
Tim Tebow got hit by a fucking city bus. What do you mean?
Akili Smith's, I call him Akili Smith's brother, Aloha Smith. No, I'm kidding. Of course, it's Jamarcus Mariota.
I like it. Marcus Mariota looks like he looks like Rolf from Ed, Edd n Eddy. He looks like Max Holloway after his most recent fight with Yair Rodriguez, which I had a screenshot pulled up.
Ah!
But it's gone
too
now.
Too late.
It is gone now. Marcus Mariota is the only quarterback you can heckle by shouting movie titles at him. Hey, Marcus, remember the Titans?
I like it.
Yes. That was a fun burn.
Running back.
Josh Jacobs.
Ah, the first entry on our amateur demolition derby drivers. In January, Josh earned himself a gnarly forehead scar by wrecking his beautiful galaxy-painted $160,000 Acura NSX. And while he had been drinking prior to the 4:42 a.m. wreck, his levels were low enough that he was let off with a $500 fine and some community service. For his community service, he mentored at the Boys and Girls Club, where the kids retaught him how to read, which now makes him the third place winner on our Vegas Demolition Derby.
I kind of took a similar route there.
That was well rehearsed, Lloyd. Round of applause.
Yes. Very well rehearsed, man. We're proud of you.
Probably.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs, like you said, wrecked his six-figure Acura in early 2021 near the Las Vegas airport and was charged with duty of driver to decrease speed under certain circumstances. He was fined and sent to community service, which he completed by giving driving lessons to Henry Ruggs.
Nice.
One of his backups, Kenyon Drake, who has a bigger mouth than Damon Arnett.
Wait, this is a different guy?
Yeah.
It's a visual thing.
Kenyon Drake looks like Kim Wayans, which makes us... weirdly sexist statement that girls like basketball better than football because they can follow it easier from when he was a junior in college. Luckily, we have Ogham Chinduju, who is a beast in the all-female Legends Football League, for us to call him out, saying he must have taken too many hits to the head. I'm pretty sure he's playing with a concussion. And then she challenged him to every skills competition that you could have, saying, maybe I could help you on your side-to-sides or your jabs, or maybe we can just run the 40, which he didn't answer at all, but immediately took all the tweets down after she did that.
Lloyd, I love you to death, but you read that the way that Action Bronson raps, like a fifth grader learning to read for the first time.
Cool.
And we're going to move on to Raiders running back Thomas Claggett.
All right, I'm gonna play that for Thomas and then have him back on.
Oh, right. I get it. It's another black guy. No?
He looks a lot like Thomas, who's been on the podcast.
I love Thomas. He's a great dude. No, it's Peyton Barber. No, which is weird to be named after something that you owe so desperately need. That's like if the Raiders' 2020 first round draft picks were named Henry Drivers Ed and Damon the Ability to Shut the Fuck Up. Lloyd liked it. Lloyd, are you pizzling?
Yeah.
All right.
Wide receiver.
Their wide receiver core is a baby-faced Trump supporter, a guy who quotes Hitler, and a guy who crashed his Corvette, a stoner, and a guy with a previous OxyContin problem. Is this a receiver core or a season of the real world?
Sounds like Eddie Griffin.
Well, no one has to wear new Jordans every time they...
Yeah, he doesn't have to get brand new fucking white Air Jordans that for every show. Yeah.
But let's move on to the baby-faced Trump supporter, Hunter Renfro.
I can't tell if his parents named him Hunter because they knew that with ears like that, he can hear a squirrel fart from 100 yards. Or if they knew he'd forever be on the hunt for an actual chin.
You're not going to get this joke. I wish Billy was here for this one. Man, I've watched Hunter Renfro play for a few years now, and I've concluded that I have to watch the Red Sox if I want to see a Hunter Renfro with home run ability. Because there's a Hunter Renfro... who also plays for the Red Sox.
It's better if you explain it.
Well, neither of you laughed, so I kind of had to.
Yeah, no one, neither of us know baseball, so.
Yeah.
And I almost made a Brad Renfro joke, but I figured that was too far.
Oh, okay. I kind of got that joke. He was in a band I used to like. He was in like the original music video for like their biggest hit song because he was cousins with the lead singer. And he died like 3 years later.
Yeah.
So you guys know the band 10 Years?
No.
Okay. But he was in their music video. But I'll edit that out because I don't want people to know that I like.
No, you nailed it. Leave it in.
Okay. Do you have Brian Edwards?
Yeah. My man's eye is lazier than the writers for season 8 of Game of Thrones. It's lazier than OBJ's route running in Cleveland. It's lazier than the thought process of any anti-vaxxer.
Looks like Kevin Hart if he wasn't funny and good at athletics.
Very true. Moving on to Dylan Stoner.
I didn't write anything for him.
I did. Dylan Stoner looks like Gatherer Renfro.
I like that. That's very good.
Dylan Stoner is what Derek Carr calls his weed-smoking high school persona. Oh, no. My past left that with... That's Dylan Stoner. I'm Derek Carr now.
Just make up another Carr, brother. That was Dylan Carr.
Moving right along to the newest Raider, DeSean Jackson.
What a perfect fit.
Oh, my God.
DJ and the Raiders were just meant to be. I mean, who better to represent your team than the guy who was made famous by dropping the ball on the 1 yard line?
Uh-huh.
It so perfectly represents the normal Raiders decision making that he validated the union by immediately fumbling his first long catch as a Raider.
It's exactly what he did. And it gets way worse. You know this, right? It's way worse. DeSean Jackson posted an Instagram story of a quote saying that Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates were trying to depopulate the earth with the COVID vaccine. I was like, really? Green Corvettes have depopulated the earth more than the COVID vaccine.
Solid.
Yeah, he also quoted Hitler, which was the biggest reason Derek Carr wanted to sign him.
I like it.
Yes.
Tight end.
Darren Waller.
You're going to love this one.
I love it.
Darren Waller is an American footballer. It's like a receiver, but taller. He has a big mouth, but his ears are smaller. His tiny head easily fits through any collar. Seems unlikely that he's a scholar. He's probably bad with his dollars. So in a few years, he'll probably be a cable installer or maybe a drywaller. Certainly not a baller. Definitely not a shot caller.
Can we just... Come on.
He does have 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Oh, he followed it. All right, come on.
That's exactly what I wanted right there.
Yes.
Bring a little bit.
That's one of my favorite rap songs of all time.
A whole haiku for you.
Wanna Be a Baller is like way up there for me. Regarding his 2017 suspension for OxyContin, Waller... Yeah. He was on some shit. Waller said, I willingly failed my test to be put out of the league because in my mind, I'd rather have them put me out of my misery as I lived the most miserable life of all, someone who had to catch passes for the Baltimore Ravens.
Like I said, not a scholar.
Not a scholar. So we have a few players left.
Yeah.
And they're all players who've made the news.
Well, did you not get his backup, Foster Moreau, who's only on the team because his family's island is where they created Mark Davis? Dr. Moreau burn?
Yeah.
Got one.
All right. So now you're ready to move on.
Yeah.
To the players who have made the news over the last several months.
Yeah.
Defense.
We're going to start with Carl Nassib.
Go for it.
First of all, I was a total asshole with the picture. Yeah,
the picture's fantastic.
I was a total asshole. So I just want to throw this out there. First of all, before you tweet at us, before you get angry, I 100% support what Carl Nassib is doing. He is using his platform to help the LGBT youth and other LGBT people be comfortable with who they are. And he's using his, like, this big, burly football player can come on as gay and be comfortable with himself, so I can too. So genuine hats off to Carl Nassib.
Yes, absolutely.
That being said, this is a roast podcast.
So what and I did to Alex for being a big, burly football player that can come out as being gay.
Yes.
Props to both of you.
So what I did was I Google searched incredibly gay man and put a picture of a guy in a unicorn outfit.
Yeah.
This is why you invited me on, just to have this picture up? Okay,
yes. That's fine. Carl Nassib came out as gay prior to the 2021 season. It devastated members of the LGBTQ plus community as they realized they now had to root for the Raiders.
Silver and black are not on the rainbow.
Oh, man. Does B stand for black in this situation?
Probably not.
I could have worded that a lot better.
Yep. Sure could have.
Just don't say what the N in Nassib stands for.
It stands for NASA.
Yeah. I said don't say it.
I can say NASA.
Whoa.
Easy. Oh, that's NASA.
Go with a soft B there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Soft B. Soft B.
NASA.
Whoa. Hey, come on now. I said soft B, not hard A.
Jesus, fella. We're going to move on to the defense.
Damon Arnett.
Damon Arnett.
For our second entry into the Amateur Demolition Derby.
You're goddamn right.
We go to October 14th, 2020, 7:29 a.m., where Damon Arnett slammed his truck into a woman's car, trying to make a turn he almost missed, trying to turn into the Raiders' practice facility. He then fled the scene, leaving his friend behind to take the blame for him, which the police did not buy his story, and he was charged with the accident. His demolition didn't stop there. He recently uploaded a video to Instagram in which he threatened to kill a fan for arguing with him, all while showing off his whole gun collection. It's for this brilliant level of career destruction that he ranks number two on our list.
Yes, Cody, what do you have to say?
Is he trying to steal Chad Ochocinco's material? Because I don't know a lot about football, but that seems like joke thievery to me.
I don't think Chad did anything like that.
No, he never threatened people.
Who's the one that did then?
I mean, Adam Pac-Man Jones, like,
yeah, that's
probably
Pac-Man.
Like you said, Damon Arnett got in trouble for sending out videos of him threatening people in his DMs while he was holding a gun. People knew the threats were legit when he sent another video of threats while he stood next to a green Corvette.
I like it.
Yes. And speaking of green Corvette, are you ready?
The man of the hour.
Go for it.
All right. Henry Ruggs, our third entry into the Amateur Demolition Derby. We go to just a few Tuesdays ago, November 2nd, 3:39 a.m. Henry Ruggs traveling at 156 miles an hour with a blood alcohol level of 0.161 crashes his Corvette Stingray into the back of a RAV4 occupied by 23-year-old Tina Tenter and her dog Max. There was...
Fun fact, Max was also the speed of Henry Ruggs' car.
There was also
on the spot burn.
There was also an unregistered gun in the car, and for this career extinction, and it's for this career extinction level shitbaggery that we rank him number one in our Fuck This Guy awards.
Yes. Is that all you got on the Ruggs?
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks to Henry Ruggs, Juju Smith-Schuster is no longer the wide receiver with most notorious for his Corvette.
Solid. That's very
Corvette,
good.
Corvette, Corvette. Henry Ruggs got into a... Oh, I like this bird. Henry Ruggs got into an automobile accident that killed a 23-year-old lady and her dog, which was far from the first time that a car negatively affected his career.
How very Kardashians of him.
Yes, and Henry Ruggs' car was going so fast that the Raiders signed it as a fifth wide receiver. What an idiot.
God, I everything about it is, fuck him. Just fuck that guy.
Fuck him. It's a horrific story. He's going to jail. He's going to prison for a long time. I saw a number that said potentially 40, 45 years.
It could be right at 50 to 53, I think, is the top.
If he gets charged on all counts.
Yeah. They're saying, I guess, the likely number is something in the 40-year range, but...
Because the original number is 2 to 20.
Yeah. But, yeah, they've piled on, like, I think it's 3 felonies and 2 misdemeanors or something now, all involved in the same fucking thing.
He's done. He's over.
And he should be.
He should be. It's proof that, like, one mistake, one piss poor decision.
One horrible decision.
Can anyone who calls a mistake is, I mean, I get what you're trying to say. That's not the right word to use. It is a piss fucking poor decision that he made.
Yeah.
To get behind the wheel when he's drunk. I saw the surveillance video. You could feel it.
Dude, it was...
Do you watch the surveillance video?
Yeah.
I felt it. I knew he was going 100 feet. I was like, oh, shit.
They said he slowed down to almost 127 miles an hour before they crashed, which... why add that? Why even... like? Oh, he tried to stop before he murdered a girl and her dog?
Yeah, and the car was engulfed in flames.
Wait, he hit them going 127?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God.
From behind.
And that was like their point of contention. Like, no, it was, you know, he was going 127. Well,
for whatever reason, the police decided to say, like, oh, we had video of him going 156 just moments before, but he slowed down to 127 before he.
Oh, whoop-de-doo.
I hope I have that lawyer in court. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, just real piece of shit. Fuck this guy.
No. Fuck this, especially since we're on a Bengals podcast and we're saying fuck this guy. Or Bengals podcast, Raiders roast podcast, Henry Ruggs, you suck for what you did. But honestly, like, props to the Raiders organization for honestly handling it correctly.
Yeah.
For not only saying, like, you're gone from our team, but also giving condolences to the victim, because Mark Davis went to the girl's funeral.
It still felt tacky to me.
It does. But Mark Davis went to the funeral, and like Derek Carr and Mark Davis and the coaches were like, we're not going to abandon Henry Ruggs, because this dude has had to have been suicidal at some point.
Yeah. I mean, again, for all of that, knowing what they've known about him for how long they've known about him and not being like, hey, you aren't going to play if you don't get help.
Yep.
Seems a little missing the point to me in the way that they're reacting. But that's, again, I have hindsight of like, hey, he did this horrific thing. But as much as they've been like, hey, this is a young man who clearly needs help.
Yeah, and he's going to need help for the rest of his life.
Yeah, now he's definitely going to need help, and now he's going to get that help in prison, which, I mean.
You think it'd help him have that picture on a football card?
I would like it. I would order it.
Yeah, I mean,
we put his mugshot up.
People would like it.
Yes. But it's, I mean, like, this is such a horrific situation. And, I mean, we can make fucked up jokes all we want. It still doesn't, like, we're not up here trying to be, like, complete assholes about it. We're just making jokes at Henry Ruggs' expense.
Yeah.
Not the victim, not the dog. Well, the dog's also a victim here, but, like, just at Henry Ruggs' expense, because he deserves to have jokes made at his expense.
And he also deserves to go to prison.
For a long time.
You can't be drunk and drive at 150 miles an hour.
With your girlfriend, a gun that's not yours, regardless, but like, I'm going to ignore the weed in this case.
I don't know, fellas. I heard that was a bad dog. It was a, you know, it was pissing inside the house and shitting when it was told not to.
They sat too close to the TV?
Yeah, exactly. Sat too close to the TV and it didn't, you know. And I heard that girlfriend was cheating on her husband. you know, let's consider all the facts of the situation.
100%.
Make a determination.
Yes. But, you guys.
I'm trying. I don't know what you guys want.
You're good. But, you know, Lloyd.
Alex.
Cody.
Alex.
I think we got him pretty good.
I think so, too.
Predictions and bullshit.
Oh, look, it's us. It is us. So, dude, we got the Raiders this week. We got the Raiders this week. It is going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they just got destroyed by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Who are honestly back.
We'll see. But yeah, probably.
Yep, they just got their cheeks clapped, but I think the score is going to be Raiders. Can I say it?
156.
joke here, fellas.
That Henry Ruggs going 156 miles an hour.
Raiders 156. Bengals 127.
I mean, that's the only place you can go with that. So, yeah.
Yes. My player of the game is going to be Tina Tinter.
Alex, help him out.
No one has to. Just keep going.
Players, no, that was an asshole thing of me to say. My player of the game is going to be Joe Mixon. He's going to have 32 rushes for 960 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 turnovers.
I like it.
My bold prediction, Jamar Chase tears his ACL. And he is driven off the field on a cart driven by
Josh Jacobs, our third place winner. He's the only one that's still on the team and will be there Sunday.
Very, very true. So Josh Jacobs drives him off the field and crashes into the wall of Allegiant Stadium, tearing Jamar Chase's other ACL and totaling the cart, the purple tinted cart.
I like it.
Yep.
My prediction, Raiders 23. It's a higher age than either of those last two assholes that are going to jail went got to. And Bengals 35.
Okay. I'm going to say.
My bold prediction is that during the game, Joe Mixon runs a touchdown, runs off the field, goes down to the courthouse, and punches Henry Ruggs and goes, I just would have punched the white girl, not killed her.
I'm going to say Raiders 27, Bengals 26.
I think it's going to be a fairly low scoring game for my actual prediction. I'm going to go with Raiders 17, Bengals 24.
How often do you guys like nail it. This shit?
Not often.
Sometimes you do.
There's one where I was exact, but I forgot to mention it the next time.
Ah, that's okay. But yeah, finalmente. Pluggity plugs.
Check out the Bastard Sermon. Well, check out, can do that.
Check out the Bastard Sermon podcast. If you want to go to patreon.com/thebastardsermon, it's $5 for all of our content. Go and check that shit out. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely.
We're doing a live show on the 26th.
Of the Oh, for the Quaint Volcano Comedy Festival?
Correct. Yep.
We'll be on at 9:15. Also, Empire Citizens will be up the street over there across the street from KFC and Taco Bell. I forget the name of the venue, but if you need some time between the comedians and shit like that, go over there, check it out. It's free also. And go and support your local artists while you're supporting your local comedians.
Yes. Yeah, check that out. A couple days you guys are going to be a chameleon on the 26th.
Yes, sir.
Go check out Cody and Lloyd and Luke. A couple days prior.
Oh, Luke's doing 5 minutes as well.
His first 5 minutes. Is
no shit.
Yep.
Dude, nice.
Very excited for our boy.
Friday or Saturday?
That'll be Friday.
Ah, okay. Because I'm going to do that because I don't know what my weekend plans are. Because that Saturday I have my high school reunion. Let's see. Plugs.
You meet all the people that you wish that you fucked when they weren't ugly. Nice high school reunion.
Yeah, you know what? I'm excited to see him. It'll be a fun time, and I'm gonna probably run into some.
Can I go as your date?
Please do that.
You are more than welcome to come as my date.
You gotta really sell it.
Be sure, because I'll do this.
And you have to sell it. You can't.
I'm gonna make you slow dance with me.
And you have to mean it. You can't be laughing and telling people about it the whole time. You have to really want it.
They're gonna be like, "He's the comedian. Who the fuck is that guy?"
And you gotta let him fuck you at the end. Come on.
Very true. Lloyd fucked me at the end.
Yes.
All right, fine.
Let's be honest. Who's fucking who in this relationship? Lloyd's fucking you. Come on.
Pretty much.
I don't care how much you go to the gym. I don't care how broken Lloyd's femur is. Lloyd's the one doing the fucking in this relationship.
A couple plugs.
Stop laughing, Lloyd. You hated all my jokes all podcast long.
November 24th, I will be at Chameleon. I'm closing it out.
I'll be there.
Yes. I'm going to try to make it a good show. I'm going to try to promote the shit out of it on the Facebooks. Shannon Rostin's coming in from Indy. I think Carrie Klaus is going to do a spot.
Monsters.
Phil Pointer and John Holmes, I think, are on the bill as well.
Literally two of my favorite people.
Pointer's yes. coming on the show soon on the Bastion Sermon.
Love.
Had Holmes on. He's fantastic.
Dude, love to hear it. I got some shows coming up in Chicago. I'm doing Motormouth on December 23rd.
Great venue.
Very fun venue. Friend of the pod, Danny Samet, and I are going to go see Jack Harlow on Friday.
Fuck, yeah.
I'm so stoked.
What the people that aren't indoctrinated in the Jack Harlow world don't know. Like, people
they'll figure
like
it
me.
Out.
Who's a Jack Harlow?
They'll figure it out.
He has a song called What's Poppin', where in it he has a line where he says, I'm in the pocket like Burrow.
Yeah.
And every time that line comes on at a DJ night, I come.
My pussy's already wet. I don't care what Ben Shapiro has to say.
There's some horse in this house. There's some horse in this house.
But yeah. I love the fact that he had to sit and listen to that song. I love that so much.
Yes. I love it. But, dude, I think those are my plugs. Come check me out in Chicago. Mid-December, I'm in Chicago doing some shows. But Lloyd.
Alex.
Cody. We only have one thing left to say.
Fuck you, Las Vegas Raiders. We like the Bengals.
Wow, man.
Is that recording?
Yeah.
And then after you do that,
kill the.
Hope it didn't ruin it too much.
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.